initiative, kind of memory of the completion of Churban Europe, we usually say a beautiful kind of composed by Rav Shimon Shmav, Zeicher Tzadik Livracha. It's getting late. Perhaps of all the kinnas, this is the one that needs the least introduction. We live with this. And I was thinking, although on the one hand, we are getting further away, it's still not that long ago. But with every year, perhaps, we might feel more distant from the Holocaust. At the same time, things happen all the time that take us back there. And Bifrat, as Rob mentioned, we're living in a time where anti-Semitism is raising its ugly head in a way that we thought, maybe naively, wouldn't happen again. In England, in Europe, even in the Greater America, there's real old-fashioned anti-Semitism. During this past year, there was a parade in Belgium where one of the floats, there were images of Hasidische Yidden. I saw the pictures, big, big mock images of Hasidische Yidden with Strangler sitting on bags of money. This year, Toshin Ayin Tes, just too reminiscent of pre-war Germany. And so we're reminded again and again that the halacha Eis Osein Es Yaakov is alive and well, and that Ein Yom LeYishoel Ela Al Avinu Shebashamayim. Every year when we return to this, and over Tisha B'Av, we think back to what happened, we hear, we read, we're overcome by the impossibility of this tragedy. 6 million Yidden that were killed, that were tortured, that were persecuted, that were beaten, that were starved, that were treated to atrocities that are painful to even hear about. There's a war machine, a death machine, a system of killing Yidden in Alduya, one after the other. The Novi says, Evel Yochid Asi Loch. When you want to understand something, then you need to look at the Yochid, you need to look at the individual. 6 million means very little to us, it's too big a number. When we look at the individual stories again and again, we come face to face with the heartbreak, with the agony. Evel yochid asi loch. That's when we realize the extent of this terrible churban that was. Of the 6 million Yidden that were killed, 1.5 were children. 1.5 million children were murdered in cold blood. Those children had parents. Each one of those children who was murdered is a story of a father, of a mother, who had to watch their child be murdered, who had their children wrenched away from them, who had little sweet Yingelach and Medelach, boys and girls, begging them for help, and there was nothing they could do. In Kinah Yud Zayin, which we didn't say this year, the kin of Ala Laili, where every line is another horrific tragedy. One of the lines are in Tidbak Lashoin Yoinik Lachich Btzimoin Schichim. Ala Laili, if it could happen that the tongue of a nursing baby would adhere to its palate, would get stuck from thirst. Ala Laili. That's something that happened again and again. And Yiddish mamas stood and watched, and there was nothing they could do. And they watched their babies die of thirst. Just read one story, Evel Yochid, of a mother in the Lodz ghetto. Conditions there were terrible. And she writes, these are her words translated from Ivrit. She writes that there was one goat that survived in the ghetto, and hundreds of mothers, I among them, desperately tried to squeeze the last drop of milk from her for their children. But even if I managed to make my way over to the goat, I no longer had enough money to purchase any milk. I had already sold my wedding ring and my last dress. But in any case, there was no way I could push closer to the area where the goat was being milked. I was not the only one who sacrificed her last dress. Many mothers did so. Others pawned watches, fabric, new shoes, whatever they owned. Everyone pushed closer, clutching a small pot. In the end, all the jostling caused the little bit of available milk to spill onto the ground, leaving all the mothers to return home to their children with empty pots. My baby, my sweet baby, was growing steadily weaker. You can't keep a baby alive on sugar water, the doctor told me. You can't build a house with wind. The foundation of a house requires materials. A baby needs food to survive. He avoided my eyes and left. On this last night, I sat next to my baby's cradle. His small body smelled like honey. His soft blue eyes looked at me gently, contentedly. And then he grew too weak to even swallow, and his blue eyes closed forever. I banged my head against the wall. People, I cried, cut out my heart and place it into my child. My blood, my life, I give to my child. I would buy his life with mine. Save us, save my child, keep my child alive. Strong hands surrounded me, carried me to a neighbor and placed me on an iron bed. When I opened my eyes, no one was in the small house. I got off the bed and wanted to go to my own hut. At the door, I saw the coffin. A tall man in boots carried a package wrapped in paper. A small foot stuck out from it. My beautiful child's small foot. That's just one. One of 1.5 million. 1.5 million. Oilim v'yoinkim, that were killed aloi oven, innocently. And just one story of intense, unimaginable heartbreak. And as always, whenever we revisit the Holocaust, we can't understand. We're always left with kashas. And those kashas can all be answered, but not before Mashiach comes. Mashiach will answer those kashas. Geula will answer those kashas. But we always take strength from those who were there, those who lived through those times and remained Erlich Yidden, remained so full of emunah and bitochen. And if they could, so could we. One of the great dmuyos, the great figures of emunah, of bitochen, of dveikus, of the Holocaust, was the Kloizenberger Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. The stories of the Kloizenberger Rebbe during and after the war are otherworldly. Their hearts fit together with the world we know. His mesiras nefesh, for every kutzei shiyud, for every tiny bit of shmiras teira mitzvahs, for every minute. I read once that throughout his time in the camps that he suffered terribly, he didn't once miss saying Shalashudas Torah. By Hasidim, it's of the great Avodas to say Torah during Shalashudas. He never missed a single Shalashudas Torah. And he came out of the war, he survived the war, but he lost a wife and 10 children. And an 11th child died shortly after. And 3 days after the liberation was Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. And he was determined that there was going to be Shabbos in the camp. And he began to prepare for Shabbos. And he got some of the Yidden involved, and many of them weren't interested. Some even said to him, if you start this, then Hitler will get us again. They were frightened to be Yidden. And he said, we're going to have Shabbos. There isn't time to tell the story in full, but the description of how he prepared for Shabbos. He made a talis for himself. He found an old sack, and then he found some wool, and most of Friday he was trying to spin the wool so that he could make tzitzis. He was busy with it till the zman, and in the end he was able to make just one knot for each one of the tzitzis. And he had a Kabbalah Shabbos, and at the beginning no one wanted to come, but slowly the Eden, they trickled in. And after Kabbalah Shabbos, he sat down to a Shabbos meal. And he started Shalom Aleichem. And then he began to say the Ribbono Ilomim. And he began, Ribboin Kolo Ilomim. Adoyin kol ha'neshomos, and he burst out crying, couldn't carry on. The anguish he felt for the neshomos, the millions of neshomos. But he didn't lose himself. He carried on talking to Adoyin kol ha'neshomos. And he was mispal on a melech, tzavei lemalochecho sheifkeduni verachmim. Have rachmonos on us. And then he reached the part in the tefillah. Ki hidlakti neiroisai vehitzati mitosi vehechlafti simloisai lechoida Shabbos. He says, Rabbeinu Shleilom, I've lit the lights, hidlakti neiroisai, hitzati mitosi, I've made my bed, vehechlafti simloisai, I've changed my clothes, lechoida Shabbos. And then the Heilige Kloizenberger Rebbe lifted his hands up to Shemayim and he said, Heilige Bashefa, ich zog faket. He said, Rabbeinu Shleilom, Master of the world, I say it the other way around. And he changed the words. He said, instead of Hidlakti neiroisai vehitzati mitosi, he said, Hidlakti mitosi, the word mito is used in the Torah to refer to family. He said, Rabbeinu Shleilom, you burnt my family. Hidlakti mitosi. All my family have gone up in smoke. But Rabbeinu Shleilom, I promise you, Hitzati Neirisai. I've still prepared my Neiris, and I'll continue to prepare my Neiris. And he repeated this. He was crying. He was sobbing uncontrollably. But he repeated again and again, Heilige Bashefa, ich zog faket. Hidlakti mitosi. 10 children he lost, but he'd santi neirisai. And that kuyach of emuna, of bitochen, of the emunoscho baleilois, that kuyach is mushrash That's rooted in us. And whenever we come up against this question of how could it happen and where was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's just look at the Heilige Klesenberger Rebbe. Let's look at the Kedushim and Torim and the Ovim and the Imim B'chayim and Moisom Leilifrod, and they were there. Of course, sadly, there were those who did lose their emunah, but there were so many who didn't. All of Klal Yisrael today is built by those Kedushim and Torim. When we see their emunah, then we're able to take koyach, chizuk from that. And regardless of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends our way, as we said at the beginning of the morning, we have our tzoros, we have our churban, we have our suffering. But kol zaman shanashoma bekirbi, every yid knows, even if hidlakti mitosi, regardless of what happens, even if you take everything away from me, itzati neiresai, will continue to light Neiris, Neiris Shabbos, Neiris Yontef, Neiris of Kedusha, Neiris of Dveikus, Biz Mashiach Vet Kuban, and will see Nikmas Dama Vodecha Ashof. Azoi Chir Mazkir of Doir Doir Kedusha, Me'eis Asheos Becharto, is clear the roin shall do your acharoin, o your meh, o your lolo. Stufe mabu dom, shepasru nafshe som, koshkue in keabu.